I wish it was under better circumstances, but I'm really glad to have the acting director of the Illinois Emergency Management Agency joining us this morning. Alicia Tate Nadeau is joining us this morning. I have a tendency to want to call you Brigadier General. If it slips out, my apologies. Okay?
Yes, sir.
Wish we were meeting under better circumstances, but, you know, since you've taken over as acting director, stem to stern, basically, in Illinois, there's been a problem since you've been acting director. You hit the ground running. You had no choice.
Yeah, I'm fond of saying right now that if it is a river in Illinois, it is in some sort of flood stage, either major or minor. All the way from the very farthest northern portion of the state all the way to the tip in the southern, we have major flooding going on.
When we've had, of course, the evacuation in East Cape Girardeau here, a relatively small area, but it doesn't matter. When it's your life, it counts. When it's your home, it counts. And, you know, there's one thing that I think in particular about this that maybe, hard to say whether this is truly appreciated, is the length of time in which the flood conditions have existed and how that's going to exacerbate the flood situation as a whole and its recovery.
Everyone likes to talk about the flood of 1993. I'm sorry, 83. But this is different than 93 in that this is the longest flood that we've ever seen. We're over 90 days. We're about 100 days now in the flood fight. And that means that those levees are completely saturated. So we're up in the north, the middle and the northern portion of the state, it was all about the crest and overtopping. Or a breaching. Here in the southern portion of the state, what we're seeing is those immense amount of pressures that are on these earthen levees. We're concerned about the erosion of those levees. And because of that, we're really asking people to, you know, heed the guidance of local law enforcement. Don't drive on the levees. Make sure that you have evacuation plans. As a family member, you know, we're not always in the same place that the rest of our family is in. So we encourage folks to have an evacuation plan, to think about where they would rally if their family is in different locations. Have your medicine with you. Have your insurance documentation. Take pictures of your home or belongings before you leave. And, of course, also, if you're using any kind of a pump or a generator, please don't use those in confined spaces. Carbon monoxide poisoning is a real thing.
You know, what we've seen is Murfreesboro, it is slowly falling there after its crest. Cape Girardeau is now slowly falling. It's cresting in Thebes, Illinois. We will see a crest in Cairo, they believe, tomorrow at 49 feet, and then New Madrid, Missouri will be next Friday, June 14th. Now, just a couple of moments ago, the director of IEMA just talked about the length of time that we're talking about. You know, it's interesting, just, you know, how you get little snapshots, and I was on the phone with someone who has farmland along the Mississippi in Union County, and they were saying, I'm not going to make any money from my farmland this year. The after effects of this cannot go understated.
Well, they're absolutely right. So just because we get through the crest doesn't mean that that's the end of this flood. The recovery portion of this is very significant. The agricultural community has been extremely hard hit. That has not gone without notice from the governor. And through the Director of Agriculture, they're actually working right now to try to gather the information to ask for an agricultural disaster declaration. So we, Illinois Emergency Management, will be working to try to get a federal declaration for this. And we're also working to get an agricultural disaster declaration.
You know, what's interesting is, I talked to a farmer on the Mississippi in southern Illinois. They talk about their fields being covered with water. But the problem is you go over to the Ohio and the farmers along here in the areas to the east. And what you've got is farmers who couldn't get their crops in the ground because of the rain that caused the flooding. They may unnecessarily be underwater, but they couldn't get it planted in time. And, you know, the crop insurance window for corn has gone across. We really kind of, in a way, we got the rain that caused the flooding, but the rain also stopped a lot of people because of its frequency from being able to get out in the fields. And when you talk about looking to the federal government for assistance in this recent approval of $19 billion, I mean, there's some options there in Washington, D.C., and we're prepared to take advantage of those?
Oh, absolutely. The governor has been very aggressive in trying to make sure that we are capturing all of the costs associated with this disaster so that we can go and work with the federal government to receive the disaster relief that we need for all of our residents, our farmers, our residents, our communities, and here in Illinois. I cannot understate that. I guess the other thing that I would say is, you know, it makes me proud to be from Illinois whenever I go to these disaster areas and meet with the people in these communities that are fighting this flood. You know, people tend to think that communities no longer come together in time of need. But I can tell you, I have seen the best of people, you know, in the worst of circumstances as they all gather together from the local, the county, the state, and the federal. Not one time have I walked into an area where someone said, "No, I can't do that. It's everybody getting together trying to figure out how to get to yes." And, you know, frankly, that is an amazing thing to see on the ground.
You know, what I find interesting, too, Alicia Tate Nadeau is joining us this morning. She's the acting director of IEMA. As I talk to some people and they say, "I don't want help. I don't need help." Well, at the same time, you're looking at them and seeing they know, you know, they need help, but their predisposition isn't to ask for it and that there's help available. And people have that independent streak down here, and they say, "You know, I moved my mom and dad out of their home. Their home is underwater. It's been underwater for, you say, a week, or, you know, maybe it's been a foot, you know, in the living room for a week." Then you've got people whose grain bins, I know some of the farmers who literally saw this coming and they evacuated their grain out of the bins on their property and moved it to another location. And, you know, every time I learn something, I learn that there's something behind it. And I know you've done a lot of background work when it comes to emergency management. You're no stranger to this, but it's amazing, isn't it, that everything you learn, there's something else behind it that people have to deal with that goes on for months and weeks when it comes to recovering, whether it's mold or getting things dry again or making the house livable again, or maybe deciding you're just not going to live in that floodplain anymore.
That's a great point. You know, in the case of flood, they're slow-moving events. And in the case of this flood, you know, we could see over 6 months ago, we started reaching out, the Corps of Engineers, Department of Natural Resources, working with the counties, asking them, "Are you ready for this flood? What kind of things do you need? We're willing to pre-position capabilities to you so when it comes, and it will come, you're ready to receive it." And on the second side of that, the recovery, it's all about making sure that documentation, documentation, documentation.
Right.
And it's making sure that right now we're in that really challenging time where, you know, we've still got some time where we're still in an active flood fight. Even though the crust goes through, as I mentioned, it's all about the pressure on these levees. So we've got to make sure that our communities are ready to, you know, just because your home is not flooded does not mean that you're not going to be impacted by the flood. It might be a road that you take to work, to the doctor, that's being affected, and it means that you need to have a plan for a different route. I'd also say, if we could encourage your listeners to just be reminded that, you know, if there's a road closure in place or if you see water on a road, don't assume that that water is only a couple of inches deep. You don't know what the erosion is underneath that road. There's a reason that closure is there. And it simply is not safe for you to go through that area.
It's interesting when you talked about the, you know, that you look around your home and everything's fine, but, you know, it's not next door. The importance, Jackson County, they had the emergency declaration. The importance of that as far as procedure. People look around and go, "It's beautiful and sunny and it's 73. What emergency?" But that declaration for those few important and putting that county on that status, making it available for these other options, I mean, there's a procedure here, and it has to be fulfilled. And you have to document on this county how much we spent on these roads. This was destroyed. This is all part of a number that we have to achieve to be able to get as much financial help as possible. This all counts when you count at the end. We have to count it all.
Well, you are very well informed, because you're right. There's a part of flood fighting that is a team effort, and that is whenever we start looking at the total cost by county. There are currently 34 counties that are in a disaster proclamation, and if we have one county that doesn't decide to do damage assessments or doesn't meet their threshold, it impacts the entire state and our ability to get federal funding. Here in Illinois, we have to meet a $19.24 million threshold just to be able to apply for federal resources. So every single bit of damage needs to be counted and documented so that we can put that towards our threshold.
It's interesting that just a moment ago, General, I received a text in the studio from Mark in Elkville, and he says, Tom, do you have any time frame as to when the waters will be low enough for the Chester Bridge to reopen? It's making my life horrendous with my job, right? There's just one little snapshot of that. By the way, do you know the answer to that question?
You know, unfortunately, Tom, I don't. I don't have that right in front of me right now. What I would say, though, is for your listeners, have them go to the Illinois Department of Transportation's website. They have a list of all the road closures. And I will tell you that the critical infrastructure, like our roads, are of strategic importance to me. We want to make sure that people have the ability to get to work. We know that in the southern portion of the state, it could be a reroute could cause you to be 2 hours longer in your commute to work. We know that that affects people's ability to get, you know, health care and treatments and things of that nature. So we are working hand in hand with Illinois Department of Transportation to not only open those roads, but those that are in jeopardy of being lost, to make sure that if at all possible that we can save those roads from being closed.